opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Stand
got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host today, as usual. We'd like to thank our sponsors. That's all you people out there that help us pay for the station and the program here. You're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio. Today is September 7th, 2013. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Savannah, our trusted soundboard operator and all-around great gal and producer.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
We also have a couple of guests today in the studio. We have Jen Hanks.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we'll have George Runner on coming on at the break in theory. So with that, we're streaming worldwide. 1460, KCNR1460.com is the website. You're listening to No Fear Radio. You can call in to 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well. You can also friend me on Facebook at Mark E. Kent. Middle initial is E. And have we got any veterans events?
We always have veterans events. To start with, we got Shasta County Cook-Off coming on September 28th from 12 to 7 p.m., and that will be at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Admission is $10. If you're interested in being involved in the cook-off, call 530-215-0987. Also on that day, we have the MASH Bash. It's a fundraiser for the Northern California Veterans Museum. That will be from 5:30 to 11, and that will be out at the airport, Reading Airport. So table of six is $400. Admission price is $35. So come out and show your support for those things. Also, remember that the Veterans Museum is having to move, so if you are inclined to come help us out, I know they still have some items that need to be moved out there. It's going to be out by September 11th, so
yeah,
just come on by.
Just coincidental.
Yeah.
So
anyway, we won't go there.
Yeah, we won't go there. Anyway, my first quote is, the enemy of my enemy is my enemy's enemy. No more, no less.
Okay.
I thought that was appropriate. So let's see what else. Oh, I want to play this. We got a little clip here from Rick Santelli on CNBC. And I just had to play this little short sound bite because it really illustrates how much even the guys down at CNBC are starting to go, wait a minute, you guys can't keep lying about this stuff. So go ahead and play it, Savannah.
Rick, why don't you weigh in on just what you think's happening in the market right now?
I just think it's absolutely horrible that we're in a marketplace where we get a lousy report, 35 years since we've seen these participation rates. And listen, you can't hide the spread of 4 to 4.5% between the advertised unemployment rate and what it would be should you go back a few years on that participation rate. See, those people aren't working. They're not buying houses. They're not buying cars. They're using services. They may be using entitlements or welfare. You can't hide those millions of people forever. So we wonder why we see our cost to take care of people that are in between jobs rising faster than other areas, less improvement in the economy, not good GDP. That's why. And you can't play this three-card Monty game for long.
Hey, Rick.
And to see the stock market rally on crappy data, to me, is just a horrible dynamic. What are we, a banana republic?
Hey, Vince, what came to mind when Hampton said the lowest participation rate since 1978 was, you just told me it's low.
Yeah, the real deal is Santelli's the only one telling the truth there. You know, how can the stock market rally when there's nobody working? you know, we're going to just keep hiding these millions of people that are non-existent for the unemployment. And the unemployment level went down. Are you kidding me? So you have to really understand
what's
going on.
Well, if you got crappy data, that happens, you know, like he said.
I mean, you know, they're just covering things up, and it's getting to the point where you can't cover it up anymore. And anybody who's buying the mainstream media of recovery, you know, you need to drink a couple of good big cups of strong coffee and maybe, you know, check yourself a little bit here to make sure that there's not something mentally going on there. So, you know, it's just ridiculous. But nonetheless, they keep pushing it. You know, they keep telling us, oh, unemployment rate's going down. Yeah, except that half the country's not working.
Well, if you don't put all the figures in your data, I mean, you're good to go.
And so they would never lie to us. And that kind of brings us to the deal, what's going on over in Syria a little bit. Now we're supposed to trust these guys to tell us all the truth about what's going on to attack Syria. Let's just, you know, eliminate engagement. Do you believe that crap? You know, I mean, if Congress gives this guy the power to go in there, do you think that he's going to do whatever he wants after that?
No.
Historically, he's just been right down the line, lawful on everything, right? He hasn't shoved anything down our throats like Obamacare.
If Congress doesn't approve it, it looks like he's going to go ahead and go in. And how does that work?
Yeah,
who gives him the authority to do that one?
Yes, this you can trust this guy.
Yeah,
you can trust this administration, not a problem. You know, so I got a couple of headlines here before we get going here. On I just had to go over that. We've got the NSA. U.S. spy services conducted 231 offensive cyber operations in 2011, mostly targeting Iran, Russia, China, and North Korea, the Washington Post said Saturday. So they're not really they're not making anybody else mad out there either. We got Brazil and Mexico ask U.S. to explain if the NSA spied on presidents.
That might be an interesting one.
Yeah, that's okay. Don't worry about it. It's all for our own good. You know, I got another item here. It says stunning photos. This is from American Dream. U.S. servicemen publicly saying no war in Syria. So our boys don't want to go, because gee, they don't want to, his sign says, I will not fight for Al Qaeda in Syria. Yeah, but that's okay. We'll just team up with Al Qaeda to go against the regime who's gassing people who we're not sure if they
who's
actually
gassing,
did it.
Yeah,
we're not sure who actually did it. And we're supposed to believe John Kerry and Broccoli Obama.
And, be careful now.
Sorry.
Be careful where you go.
And all these guys, John McCain, really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we want to believe that one.
Yeah, he's a Republican. I like the way
the
they do
singing
that.
Canary?
Yeah, he's a Republican. Really? Are you serious? So
sorry. I had to say it, you know?
Are you sure he's not a parent?
Well.
Nah, nothing like that could happen.
We can't go there. Okay. We'll get the button if we go there.
Okay.
Here we come. Now we're on antiwar.com. This is another website. U.S. looks the other way on Pakistan's rights abuses. Evidently, they've been killing people over there without trial.
No,
But hey, that's okay as long as you didn't gas them.
Oh, does that make the difference?
I think that's what it is. I mean, that's the difference between being dead and really dead. You know, it's kind of
dead's dead, but
it's kind of like what'll kill you deader, a rifle or a shotgun. Let's see, I'm dead. yeah. So, yeah. And so I have another, headline here. This is from the economiccollapse.com. Is the United States going to go to war with Syria over a natural gas pipeline? Evidently, Qatar has spent $3 billion to support the rebels in Syria. Could it be because Qatar is the largest exporter of liquid natural gas in the world and Assad won't let them build a natural gas pipeline through Syria? No, that couldn't be
no,
it.
No, that wouldn't be the reason.
That couldn't be it.
There could be nothing behind the scenes going on here, folks. I mean, they're so truthful.
You know, here's from Reuters. World leaders pressure Obama over Syria at the G20 summit. So evidently, everybody else in the world doesn't want to attack Syria.
Yeah, now, and the liberals now are saying, oh, the UN, don't go by what the UN says.
Yeah.
But before, we're supposed to do everything the UN tells us.
They have weapons of mass destruction as under Bush, and guess what? We don't go in there. Yeah, it's going to end up in a long, drawn-out war with nobody winning. So now let's go into Syria because they have weapons of mass destruction, and it's not going to be a long, drawn-out war. And we're going to win by firing shots over the bow.
And we want to get involved in the Civil War.
Tomahawk missiles. Yeah. So we can be on the side of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
Hey, sounds like, what could
got
go,
a problem?
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
What could go wrong? Okay. So, you know, you got all, I mean, okay, we started out with Santelli blasting him. Is this administration ever lied to us before? We should trust them, right?
Sure.
I mean, they're spying on the world, and they lie to us about everything. They can't even give us unemployment data, and we're supposed to believe them that they're going to have a restrained war in Syria.
And they have our best interest at heart through all of this.
We're not sure why we're teaming up with Al-Qaeda. So I think with that, we're probably pretty close to the break.
To go into a break, okay. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Hey, football fans, Nate Abarea here. It's that time of the year. The helmets are strapped, the lights are on, and high school football is back on your radio. We'll be bringing you local gridiron action all season long with live game broadcasts from all around the North State. It's Friday Night Football right here on KCNR 1460, the pulse of Shasta County and Redding's new home for high school football.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to one to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to one on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, Linda Bott here. Join me every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460 AM for On the Spot with Linda Bott. Find out what's hot and what's not. We talk about fun, film, fashion, food. Brought to you by Dandelion, Crackmaster, Mount Shasta Mall, Anselmo Vineyards, and Estate Granite. On the Spot, Thursday, 6 p.m. right here, KCNR 1460 AM.
Yeah, we probably better start talking. I like that song. That's a good one. That's Badfinger, just in case you wanted to know. Probably nobody really wanted to know that. I'm sorry.
We could go a long ways with Badfinger.
Badfinger goes a long ways back. Never mind.
So, our guest.
Okay.
Let's move along here.
We have our guest on the phone with us. I believe it's George Runner's there. We have a little bio on him here. George Runner represents the State Board of Equalization in the 2nd District. He is a leading advocate for taxpayer rights in California. During his time on the board, George has worked to improve California's tax policies and practices and to create and retain more private sector jobs in the state. Wow. He must be a pariah up in the legislature. Prior to his election to the board. George has served 12 years in the state's legislature, so he knows what's going on up there. He's well known for the Amber Alert and the California Blue Alert. Anyway, I could go on. There's quite a bit more here to read, but I think everybody gets the idea that George is a pretty good guy. And are you on the phone with us, George?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Where should we begin? I'm thinking we're supposed to talk about the fire tax, I think, is where we're at.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what's new on the fire tax that we don't know about yet?
Well, unfortunately, the news is not still good. The new round of bills has gone out, started going out. Shasta County, that area, will be getting theirs sometime in mid-October. You know, the bottom line is the lawsuit's proceeding. You know, I believe the whole tax itself is illegal. It was done illegally. But it's also just incredibly bad tax policy. So, you know, we're pressing on. We're telling people to go. We have a website, CalFireFee.com. Which will keep everybody updated as to exactly what's going on with lawsuits and, you know, how they make their appeal. We're really encouraging everybody to make their appeal every time they get a bill and they pay it, make a new appeal. That's going to be important for the lawsuit.
Okay, very good. That's CalFireFee.com?
Yes, that would be it, and that's our website.
Very good. Listen, at what point, and this illegal thing really bugs me, you know, I mean,
yep.
At what point in time do we just stop, you know, we start ignoring these guys and their fees and stuff? I mean, I know that sounds a little radical. I guess that's because I'm sort of radical and maybe an outlaw kind of guy. But, you know, I don't want to get in trouble with these guys. But at the same time, if they're doing illegal things, at what point in time do we just stop paying them?
Well, that's really what the court will decide. You know, I mean, reason I'm joining the lawsuit is because I think it's illegal. And so then you go to the court. And you make your arguments, and the court has accepted the suit. It's a class action lawsuit, we should be heard sometime after the first of the year. So I mean, that's the way our government works, you know.
If
indeed the legislature moves forward with something and it seems to be not according to what the Constitution says and the laws that the people put into place, you know, your redress for that is to the courts, and that's what we're in the midst of.
Very good.
Mark?
Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
For the record, some, 12 or 13% of people have not paid the bill? Is that correct?
Yeah, something in that neighborhood. That's because, you know, that's a different issue in the sense that is just because of its incredibly bad tax policy. And what I mean by that is, anytime you create a tax or a fee that is a relatively low amount, you know, these are usually around $115 or $150, depending upon if you're in a you know, your own fire prevention district that you already pay into. You know, it makes it incredibly difficult for anybody to try to collect because the amounts are so small, and that's why in terms of just a policy side, when the legislature tried to get this money, and remember what they did. This was not about fire protection or even fire prevention. This was really all about stealing money from the general fund and then finding a way to try to backfill it 3 years ago. And so that's what the legislature did. And it's important to remember none of this money goes to any of these fires that are burning right now. None of it goes to any new fire prevention programs. You know, it was all money stolen from the general fund to try to backfill an overspent government.
Well, then you're basically, what you're saying then, is the tax money coming out of the general fund, then we're going to call the collection of the money to replace the money out of the general fund a fee, and is that the part that makes it illegal?
Well, what makes it illegal is they actually did it with a simple majority vote bill. And in order to do that, you have to be able to show that you have a direct benefit and make it a fee, and so therefore you're getting a service, and therefore you're going to get charged for that service. And that would be a fee, and that would be it's like a fishing license or, you know, those kinds of
right.
things. And those would be things that then are a simple majority vote bill. The problem with this particular issue and why it's a tax is because there are many people, number one, who aren't getting any service for their fee.
Right.
You can't show a direct benefit that you're getting.
Well, and if you've already spent the money out of the general fund and you're just replacing it, then obviously there's not a service there.
Well, there's no new money, that's for sure.
Yeah.
There's no new service. Because it's not, it wouldn't be illegal, for instance, if the general fund was paying for something. And there was this attempt to say, hey, you know, if there's a small group of people who get a benefit here, a direct benefit, we need to, rather than having all the taxpayers pay for that individual, we need to just charge those people who get that benefit. And in theory, there's nothing wrong with that. Again, if it was like everybody could have a fishing license and everybody was, and they were free, but not everybody was using a fishing license, you could just change the law, if it was like that, to say, okay, only those people who fish are going to have to pay. And that, again, that would be a simple majority vote bill. That would make sense. This one doesn't make sense because this is just a, this was a grab of dollars trying to figure out who could pay and then said that they're going to get a benefit to which there is no direct benefit to men. I mean, some of these people who, I mean, you all are in a fairly forested area. And so, again, they did this by what was called a state responsibility area as to who gets the fee. But there's other people who are state responsibility areas who have absolutely no need for fire prevention at all. They live in the desert. They live alongside of the beach. And that's where it is that they are very exposed, I think, in regards to the lawsuit.
Yeah, that's, I'll tell you, just, I'm thinking to myself here while you're talking that, we got, Governor Moonbeam up there saying that we've got a balanced budget.
Well, you gotta remember, they balanced the budget, or in theory, because they, because unfortunately the state of California, last November, decided that they wanted to send more money to Sacramento, which was a huge mistake when they passed Proposition 30. My view is if government has enough money, then the last thing you need to do is give government more money because they never will look at themselves then and to see how it is that they are effectively spending the money that they have.
Well, I mean, because if you Google California agencies, there is so many agencies in the state of California right now that are being funded that we don't even know, I don't even know what the count is, and we don't even know what they all of them do. And so we can't keep raising taxes to cover their overspending, and this is just an example of it with the fire tax.
Well, government in general, in the United States, but particularly California, has just gotten way too big. My view of taxes and the size of government is that when government continues to grow and people are overtaxed, and Californians are indeed overtaxed, we have the highest personal income tax, highest sales tax, highest, gasoline tax, you can go right down the list. That is an attack on people's individual liberties, because at that point, no longer do we get to decide how to spend our money. Government's deciding to spend our money. And when government decides to spend their money, they do it ineffectively, they do it inefficiently, and they will always need more.
Yeah, it seems it's a never-ending story. Have you got something you want to ask George, Jen?
Well, I wanted to comment, just to keep it local, that according to the 2010 census, this fire tax will affect or impact 22,721 households in Shasta County. Uh-huh. It also is, we have 136 million acres that are in the state responsibility area.
Right.
And I have found, as far as your appeal process, the best website is the firetaxprotest.org. They've made it very easy. I'm sure you're familiar mm-hmm. with it, George.
Right.
I helped a lot of people last year, and the easiest way is to go to this website and download the form, and then you can print your information on it. You print out your three copies, and you mail them. And I understand that this needs to be mailed or gotten in within the 30 days of the date on your bill.
Yeah, that's important. The way the law was written and the way the tax law is, you've got to go ahead and do that at the same time that you were within 30 days of getting the bill, which is the same amount of time that you have to pay it. It's important to go ahead and do that for every bill. If you did it last year with your bill and you didn't do it this year for your bill, that's a problem, because the fact is it depends on how the lawsuit and how the court makes the judgment. They could make a judgment that only those who protested the bill each time would get their money reimbursed to them. So we don't know how the court will decide. They could decide in a very broad way and decide, no, it all has to be returned regardless. But we just don't know. But we do know the best way to ensure it is to go ahead and fill out your protest letters each time.
I think with that, we're going to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Urgent Care welcomes back Dr. Richard Musselman, joining Dr. Clayton Reinhardt, Dr. Seeger Beatty, and family nurse practitioner Deborah Wright in Pulse's newly expanded facility. Pulse doctors are available to serve you for any urgent care needs 7 days a week from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. Flu shots are now available. Pulse Urgent Care is on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart. Call 722-1111 or visit pulseurgentcare.com. Medicare and private insurances are accepted. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Red and Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Red and Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Red and Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
Wake up, America. You're too young to die.
This Sunday, we welcome award-winning filmmaker J.D. King, whose latest project is Axed, The End of Green, a documentary that'll tell the truth about the green movement, how it's eroding our liberties, our private property rights, and our standard of living. And former congressional candidate Debbie Bacigalupi is our guest co-host this week on We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Breakfast. Back. I guess we got to kind of get back and start talking again on this one too.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes, you know.
We have Mr. George Runner from the State Board of Equalization on the program today, and we're talking all things fire tax. So, I think we have Terry on the line.
I think so.
Is that you, Terry?
It is. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Pretty good. Doing?
Good. Hi, Mr. Runner. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
And thank you for the great job you do. I've heard you speak several times and voted for you and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, I have a question. Mark brought up an interesting situation, and I heard you say that the situation would be solved in the courts, but here's the thing I wanted to run by you. If, in fact, this tax is illegal, that means it's a crime. If in fact, this tax is being forced upon people and they're taking money from them, it's extortion. So my question is, if it's a crime and someone committed a crime out in the real world, and they were arrested, they would probably be put in jail until their trial came up, and then the courts would decide. However, this is a little different. I mean, there's people in places like Shingletown that have 6 and 7 rentals, and I don't know how much money that, probably a couple of $1,000 in a tax that you've even said, and everybody has said, is not even being used for what they say they're using it for. So if it's illegal, unconstitutional, it's a crime, it's extortion, then shouldn't somebody be arrested and then we find out and goes to court like it would normally? Or how does that work?
Well, the way it works is because this is not going to criminal court. This is not a, there's not a crime here.
Well, but if you're taking money for something that's illegal, that's extortion. So it is a crime.
Well, but this is not, you know, this is basically what you have here is you have the legislature acting on what they believe the law allows them to do. That's, I mean, in their intent. So the intent of the legislature is we think we can do this, or the governor, and that for that matter. We believe the law allows us to do this, and so therefore we go ahead and move forward with it. Typically what happens, and it happens all the time, we have numbers of issues that are in court in regards to interpretation of law all the time. And then the court then makes in a civil process, not a criminal process, makes a decision in regards to whether or not something was indeed in this case, constitutional or not. And the court will make that decision. And then when they make that decision, the decision then is rendered, and then there has to be then redress to the issue, that it has to be corrected.
I guess the part, I'm a simple guy, the part I really don't understand is the fact that if in fact they're doing something that is unconstitutional, mm-hmm. and they're
right.
doing something and they have a tax that they're saying that they're using for something, they're basically saying we're using it for this, this, and this, but they're really
right.
not, and we all know they're really
right.
not.
Right.
And how is that not something that's a little bit underhanded? And what's the ramifications? Usually when there's something that happens and it goes to court, whatever that action is has to be halted. So since the crime, since this has happened already, people have already sued, there
right.
is going to be litigation on this. What exactly happens at this point to people who are getting new bills? Should they really legally have to pay them since they've already gotten into this lawsuit already? I mean, doesn't that situation have to stop until the court set it out, sorted out?
No, the court can make a decision at that point separately to say, yes, we think this may be unconstitutional, therefore we're going to tell everybody to hold and stop all activity.
There you go. So that's something. Are you guys pushing for that? Because I would think your attorney should be pushing for that post haste.
No,
because there's already been an action or a reaction to the action that the legislative body has taken on this unconstitutional bill, or law, or tax, or whatever you want to call it.
The court didn't choose to do that.
The court
didn't choose to go ahead and, because again, that was the request. The request mm-hmm. was to go ahead and halt until there was a decision made.
Sure, I would think,
But the court chose not to do that.
Okay.
To go ahead and hear the case, but to have CAL FIRE continue to do the billing and the paying of that process while it moves up. They could have, and in some cases they do. In some cases they'll decide that. In that way, but in this particular case, the court decided not to. And again, you got to remember when we say the court, we're basically talking about a single superior court judge, right? I mean, that's who makes this. It's not like there's a big decision in regards to this process. A single superior court judge looks at the decision and will decide whether or not they're going to go ahead and move this issue forward. Whether or not they're going to say, okay, we are moving it forward, but we want all payments to stop. They make that decision, and so far that the court has decided, the decision of the judge was, no, we're going to go ahead and hear this, but we're going to go ahead, everybody should continue and move forward until a decision is actually rendered.
Is there an appeal from that judge's, is there a judicial review of the judge's decision? And if they do find this illegal, can they be sued for damages, the state?
No.
I apologize if I missed this and you said something about this already, but I know there's several people we know that are elderly and they haven't been able to pay this simply because their income wouldn't allow an extra $150.
Right.
You know, how does that all work in the scheme of things here?
I'll tell you, that's one of the worst things about this particular issue is you get folks who absolutely don't pay. I mean, we have people in a number of them in your area, for instance, who are in mobile home parks.
Yes.
Mobile home parks are the ones that are disproportionately affected by this.
Yes.
Because every one of those mobile homes, or every one of those mobile homes gets this $150 or $135 bill, or $115 bill. You know, because they're in a single parcel of property. However, each one of them is indeed an inhabitable structure. And it is really problematic. We actually went to the legislature to try to change that part of the bill this last year.
To say, what happens to the owner of the mobile home park? Does he just get one bill, or how does that work?
Well, again, if the owner of the mobile home park lives on the site, then they would also get a bill.
But if not,
but
they wouldn't.
In theory, the way that they have, the way this is being worked out is if the owner doesn't, and there's just renters there who are in their mobile home parks, then they are getting the bill.
Yeah.
And that's a Cal Fire provision, the way that they've worked out their application of the law. So it's very problematic, and especially for folks that are elderly living in those homes. It is just incredibly wrong. And the thing that's incredible about it, and that is the way the legislature passed the bill, is you got 30 days from the day the bill was mailed. That means if it took 2 weeks for it to get to you, or you don't go to your post office box every week or whatever, you could also open up a bill and have it due in 2 weeks. You know, so those are the kind of things. Now, one of the things that we have very limited ability. One of the things we can do is we can assist with payment plans. So if an individual indeed is stuck there with a problem and needs a payment plan, they can call us and we can help them get into a payment plan to ease that process right now. But we are limited in terms of what we can do and waive. And, you got to remember how this bill was done. This was done in the dark of night with hardly any input and trying to basically find $80 million and not too worried about the consequences of it.
Well, see, even that's something to where, I guess, Mark, when he made the point, where do you draw the line? I mean, where do you draw the line if you're going to allow people to do things that are underhanded and illegal? And we would be in the you know, private sector, we would be in a position to where we'd be having to go to court, probably jailed for some of this stuff. It gets to a point where you kind of scratch your head and wonder, you know, where you draw the line. Everybody wants to comply with the law, of course. I mean, everybody wants to do that.
Right.
But by the same token, if it gets to a point to where they're making things legal that are illegal, and they're getting to a point to where they're saying things are what they aren't, then I don't know where you draw it here. You know, I thank you, sir, because for what you have done here and helping with this and everything, but it really is something I think people are really starting to seriously ask themselves.
Well,
and it's something I think that, you know, Mark made a pretty good point about that.
We're gonna have to move on. We got more questions going on here too.
Thank you, Mr. Runner. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Terry. All right, very good. Who do they call, George? Where do they call to get the payment plan? Do you have the number for that?
If you go to CalFireFee.com, our numbers are on there, different ways that they can get a hold of us, and then we can help them in that process.
Very good. Jan, you've got some questions too?
I suggest you call Governor Brown, 916-445-2841.
Good one.
And,
he won't help you with getting a payment plan, but certainly people need to protest the action, there. Your legislators are all very much in tune. They want to get this thing taken care of. They'd like to see it go away. The other one you can call, and I don't have that number with me right now. Maybe somebody can throw it up on a website, with you, but Cal Fire is the other one. Cal Fire administers this thing. And again, there's a special board, or the board itself, that probably needs to hear from people in regards to some of these regulations that they've done, particularly like with this issue with mobile homes. You know, the Cal Fire board could change that part of the regulation.
Hmm. Don't they have kind of a little bit of dog in the hunt here? It seems like that's a little bit of a conflict of interest, as the people that are...
You know, that is fundamentally one of the things of why this, again, is bad tax policy. You should never have the people who are getting the money, collecting the money, and using the money as the people who you are actually making an appeal to. That is just fundamentally wrong and does not protect the rights of individuals. And that's exactly what they've set up. In order to go through this process in your appeal, if you think you for whatever reason you think you are wrongly being taxed or on this issue because of a location, because of what's interpreted as an inhabitable structure or whatever, you have to go to the very people who you're taking money away from them to find in favor. And that is, again, why I believe this is just really bad tax policy that also doesn't protect taxpayers. You should go to a group, quite frankly, if this was set up the correct way, if you were doing an appeal, you should go back to the Board of Equalization.
Right.
And make your appeal, because we're an independently elected board who then can make a judgment based upon what is fair and right for the individual taxpayer, not for some agency that's going to get the money.
Right. I think
I think with that we need to go to a break, and then when we come back, Jen, we'll let you say what you need to say. So again, the number here is 605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is Jeff Granberry from Reading Electric Utility. REU strives to offer a variety of assistance programs to our eligible customers. Are you aware of the many programs that REU offers to help our lower-income customers? Programs such as REU's Lifeline Rate Discount Program, which helps income-qualified seniors or households with a disabled family member living in the home. Also, REU's new Lifeline Plus Program for extremely low-income customers who qualify for assistance. Or the CARES program, which provides a one-time emergency financial assistance to help income-qualified REU customers. Another valuable program funded through customer donations is the REU Share program, or simply helping another receive energy. This program is designed to assist fixed-income seniors pay their energy bills. Please contact REU to see if you or a family member qualifies for any of our assistance programs. For more information, call REU at 339-7200 or visit us at reupower.com. Reading Electric Utility, REU, we're here for you.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew, guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hello, this is Dr. Todd Royce, your downtown Reading chiropractor. Join me every second Saturday at 10 a.m. for Positively Healthy Radio. We discuss almost any health topic you can think of from a different point of view than a pill for every ill and a potion for every emotion. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Would you like to have more energy? Would you like to avoid the headaches, sicknesses, infections, and diseases that so many are seeming to get? We talk about all those topics and more every second Saturday. Join us at 10 a.m. on 1460 KCNR.
Think twice, 'cause it's another day for you, me, paradise. Think twice, 'cause it's another day.
I like Phil Collins. Yeah, it's another day in paradise.
I guess that's one way to look at it.
Living the dream.
Before we get to you, Jen, I just wanted to get, I pulled up the phone number for CAL FIRE for Shasta and Trinity County, and the number is 530-225-2418. So that, get that out there for them. So it's all yours. Go for it.
George, first I wanted to really thank you for being our guest this morning. Really appreciate that.
Hey, no problem.
I wanted to make sure that people know that I believe the lawsuit was filed by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association.
Yes, the lawsuit is being, yes, uh-huh. And they are the ones that are taking the lead on this. They are the ones that have put together the class, since it's a class action suit, moving forward with it.
I would recommend that if you have money to donate, you consider donating to them. Their website is hjta.org. I've got phone numbers and stuff too, 916-444-9950. They're really a good organization to support along with George. My question to you right now is, how much is it costing to collect this tax? It seems like sending out bills. It's not very efficient.
No, it's not. And like I said, we have a very high rate that's, you know, fairly high delinquency rate because of it too. And so then it gets really expensive to try to get people to, you know, pay who haven't paid. They owe, you know, $115. I think our collection, I'm just going to off the, you know, the top of my head, but I believe for the $80 million that it's supposed to come in, I believe the collection cost is like right around $18 or $20 million. That's just kind of, I'm not in a place where I have that figure in front of me, but I believe it was somewhere in that neighborhood.
So we send the money to Sacramento and they suck out 20% and we might get some fire prevention back out of this thing.
That's good business.
Well, again, that's why it's really, again, just poorly done tax policy. I mean, regardless of how you feel with it, it's the wrong way to create a fee or a tax. It's just too expensive.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You got something else there, Jen?
Well,
we got a caller, or
go ahead, Jen.
I actually have a phone number. You know, one of the questions that we're asked about was about a payment plan, and you know, you can go to our CalFireFee.com and find numbers. But let me give you a direct number to my office for somebody who needs and has questions about. This can be a question if they have a question about if their house is really in an SRA. They don't, you know, how many inhabitable structures they have. They think it's wrong. They can give us a call at 916-445-2181. And, we can kind of begin to help them either with a payment plan or, you know, review with them about their, you know, how Cal Fire may have interpreted their structures or those kinds of things too.
Very good.
Okay. With that, I believe we have a caller on the line. Doug, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you have a question or comment for us?
Oh, I was supposed to be on this morning, I think. I'm scheduled to be a guest, I think.
Is this Doug LaMalfa?
Yes.
Hey, Congressman, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing good, Doug. Good to hear from you.
People meet in the strangest places.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in the car today, that makes it even stranger, right? So.
You're supposed to be on as a guest today. Whose guest are you supposed to be, Doug? I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Oh, well, it said on my little calendar here to call in, so maybe I'm a little bit off the mark.
I don't know. We want to get you on the show, though. Have you got a question or a comment, Doug, for George?
How long does it take to get to Tule Lake from here?
Where are you?
Hey, that's something the local congressman should know.
All depends on where you are.
Yeah, but I think the answer is 3 more hours.
Thanks for calling in, Doug.
Yeah, you guys have a great day. So it's always good to be way up in the north, and we'll be heading back to D.C. pretty soon. So you guys have a great day.
All right,
you
thanks,
too.
Doug. We'll talk to you soon. That was that's kind of funny there. Do you have another question, Jen? Or
one of Supervisor Les Baugh's concerns was that this is why people other than the 800,000 rural folks should be concerned. One of Supervisor Baugh's concerns is if this fire fee works, if we're not careful, there'll be a Caltrans fee. Fee, and we'll all be getting little bills in the mail for what we don't know what it is.
It opens up a whole new issue in regards to what should be basic services that people pay taxes for, all of a sudden being carved up. The one I compare it to, and although it would never be done because the urban legislators would never have it happen, and that is, this is no different than if somebody decided to do a crime prevention fee in high crime areas because they send more people to prison in their theory. It just is wrong. And the other issue that is wrong about this, we're running out of time real quick, but you know, the whole concept that the people who live in the rural areas should be responsible to pay this fee, it just does not make any sense. A, the people who live in the rural areas already do the kinds of fire prevention they need to do for two reasons. Number one, they're already paying a fire fire protection fee on top of it, so they don't, so their house doesn't burn down and they've got a fire engine down the street. The other issue, you know, that they're doing is they need to do it because if they don't, their fire insurance goes astronomical.
Yeah, there is an issue of personal responsibility in there too, somewhere.
Right, and so they do it for lots of different reasons, and so they then have a fee on top of it makes no sense. And then on top of that, the whole idea of CAL FIRE and protection of forests, that's not for the rural areas, although it's important. It's for the watershed, for people who live in urban areas. That's why we go out and fight fires out in Trinity County where nobody lives. It isn't because we're trying to protect their homes. It's because we're trying to protect watershed for people who lived in the cities. So that just doesn't make sense on all kinds of levels.
Well, listen, George, what do you think about the state of Jefferson?
I saw Siskiyou County made their deal. You know, I'm a long supporter. You know, that of course I served in the legislature with folks that have talked about the idea of two states. I'm a strong believer in not a north-south, but an east-west state.
Yeah. I'm thinking north-south. I think anything past Red Bluff is probably
out of way up there. But listen, you can have a great state if you started down there, you know, in the San Joaquin Valley and ran it all the way up to the Oregon border, you know, and it would be an appropriate and right state. For a couple of reasons. Number one, I'll tell you right now, inland California is absolutely ignored by the legislature.
And it's the production. It's where all the production takes place other than... go ahead.
Yeah, we live in two different kinds of Californias. I mean, you go out on the coast and you'll see an economy booming and all these kinds of things that are happening. You go inland and you'll find cities with, you know, 20% unemployment rates, but it's absolutely ignored by the legislature and this governor. You know, and to me, those are the kind of things that we ought to somehow take a look at and say how can we fix this instead of trying to figure out how to punish people more with a fire fee.
Well, you know, I mean, what they're doing is they're going to punish everybody right out of the state of California who produces stuff, and then you know, they're already imploding financially. Why else would they even attempt the fire tax? So, you know, that's what's going to happen here is they're going to get what they want pretty soon if they're not careful, and there's no way they're going to balance the budget. So it's a problem. I mean, and if Siskiyou County secedes from the union, that's where I'm moving.
I think there's a lot of people.
I wish it were only that easy.
I know you wanted to get something in before we run out of time here, Jan. So go ahead.
If anybody needs help filling out with an appeal, I'll mail you forms. I'll help you with the website. nofiretax@yahoo.com.
How do they get a hold of you, Jan?
Yeah, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, that's my email address.
Okay.
nofiretax@yahoo.com. I have a phone number here you could call if you don't have the internet, 530-945-0673. The problem I had is a lot of people had problem filling out their forms.
Yeah, any government form is just tough to deal with all the time. And Jan's doing a great job up there of you know, working for and with taxpayers on this issue. And, you know, I just wish we had more folks who are engaged like that. Not only, it's one thing to do the complaining, and it's important, and we want to do that too. We want to make our protests, but then we just have to help people know how to do it right and best.
Getting involved.
And Jan's been doing a great job with that.
Yeah, thanks. We appreciate that. She's wonderful on this, and, you know, it's about getting engaged. Like you say, the people out there need to wake up and get engaged because, the government that we have is just a reflection of the people that, are in the, community and how they, deal with the existing, government, whether it's local, state, or federal.
Yep.
Very good. Okay, right. We're down to a minute here. We want to thank you for coming on the show, George, for sure.
And thank you, Jan, for coming in the studio and being with us this morning.
We'll hope to have you back.
We're glad to be happy to do that.
All right.
All
very
right.
Good.
Thank you.
Anything else before
thank
we go?
You.
Thanks, George.
Next week we have Andy Gaz on.
Okay, very good. I guess government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
All right. Have a good week, and we'll see you next Saturday. We'll
change your focus to make a golden rule. So why are you acting like a bloody fool? If you get hot, then you must get cool. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
You're listening to KCNR 1460 in Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. Calling the evidence against the Syrian regime strong, European foreign ministers are endorsing a strong and clear response to a chemical weapons attack. Secretary of State John Kerry was with them in Lithuania.
We are very grateful for the statement that came out of the meeting today with respect to Syria.
He's now in Paris. The French support a U.S. strike on Syria, though EU leaders still want to wait for the UN inspector's report. President Obama maintains
this would not be another Iraq or Afghanistan,
saying the limited military action he wants includes no troops on the ground.
Failing to respond to this outrageous attack would increase the risk that chemical weapons could be used again, that they would fall into the hands of terrorists who might use them against us.
That's in his weekly address this morning. The president will address the nation Tuesday night, hoping to persuade Americans in Congress. Among those undecided on Capitol Hill, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
One of the things the administration is looking at, that I hope they will.